Well, good morning, Backroads Church. Thank you for being with us this morning. What a gift it is to God, and what a gift it is to this church family to have each and every one of you here every Sunday morning joining in with us. We are just grateful that you'll be with us this morning. Can you believe that it's already the third week into 2026? We got great things going on, and it's just we're excited, and I'm excited about the new year ahead of us and what God has plans for us. Being that it is the third week of January, it means the fourth week of January is coming soon, and we have been supporting the Inner Hope Ministry for several years, and we're continuing to do so, and our time for our match is just about up. So if you haven't had an opportunity to give to the Inner Hope Ministry, or you want to give beyond out of your abundance as faithful giving, we're still accepting gifts for Inner Hope, as well as still going to receive the match for Inner Hope as well. So we thought as we started today, we'd play our video, just in case you need a reminder of what is happening. So please enjoy this video. I pray that God opens your heart as you watch this, and that we can really, really support these kids to our best ability. So let's watch our video.
Hello everybody. My name is Jorani. This is me. I am 14 years old. I live in Father's Heart Home for Children. I am very glad for this house. I have many brothers and sisters here. I speak today to say thank you to my friends in America who helped me. Thank you for saving my life, which was very hard. You helped me know about the wonderful name of Jesus. You help all of us kids. We all pray for you and send our love from very far away. We love you all. Dear Lord, wonderful Jesus, I pray for every person who will hear this message. I speak the name of Jesus for them today and for many days. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows.
Over
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Every time I've watched that video, I just think of that little girl's prayer, and I just think, oh, what glory does God get when we hear that little voice speaking directly to God, praying for us, each one of us, as we have the opportunity to serve through our gifts and support this ministry. So put that on your hearts this morning, too. I love to hear that little girl pray and speak the name of Jesus over each one of us. We know that God's here listening to us now as we come into this time of worship. So let's pray together. Whatever's on your heart, we know that God is listening at this moment. So let's be in prayer. Faithful God, you call us to be saints. But if we're honest, we're much more comfortable with the role of sinner. You call us to be your servants, but we still cling to the excuse that we just lack the skills to do the work you would have us do. You put a new song of praise in our mouths, but we stumble on the unfamiliar words. You show us the work to be tackled, but we turn away, insisting that, but for some reason, that we can utilize our time way better than you. And we continue to convince ourselves that we have more important things to do, as you've done so often in the past. And as you continue to do today for us, Lord, remind us over again. Remind us of the joy that awaits us when we put our trust in you. Guide us into the light of your unwavering, unending, and grace-filled love. Gracious God, you've enriched us and you've enlightened us by the revelation of the eternal Christ. Comfort us in our humanity this morning and strengthen us to walk the path of your desire, so that by your words and your deeds, we may witness to the gracious news of your faithful love. For those who are suffering, let us point to Christ through comfort. For those who are hungry, let us point to Christ through bread. For those in the grip of despair, Lord, let us point to Christ through our hope. We know that you're with us, that you've heard the names of those who are near and dear to us, those who are in need of mercy and grace. Help us to both feel and to be your presence in those situations where only your hand can offer healing, Lord. Use us. Use us to be your hands and your feet. Lead all of us into life-changing ministries. Holy Father, Father of Christ, who asked the disciples, what are you looking for? And who offered the invitation to come and see. We ask that you open our hearts to embrace what you reveal to us. Give us the courage to follow you in obedience. By your Spirit, aid us in our journey. So that like John the Baptist, our words and our deeds point to the Lamb of God. Lord, we ask that you hear us now as we pray in the way that Jesus taught us to pray. Saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to read from the book of John. This is chapter 1. It's verses 29 to 42. So hear these words. They say, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify to this is God's chosen one. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, Look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, What do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went, and they saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him, and it was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas. Which when translated is Peter. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning, I'd like to ask you, how do you spend your idle time? What do you do with the time when you're not committed to any one of those responsibilities that you just have to get done? I know some people, they like to knit. Some people might like to read. Some folks have really fun hobbies. They like to go golfing or hunting or fishing. They love to get together with friends and play cards. I love to get out on my motorcycle and just ride these beautiful hills around here. I know as Americans, we have a tendency to watch a lot of TV. Mindless time. We're not doing anything, but we're just being entertained. We're not doing anything at all, really. Just sitting there, not being productive, just sitting. I remember when I was in the bush in Africa, we had a lot of downtime where we were doing nothing. In between hunts, we would just sit in the camp. in between the hunts or in the evening. We just didn't have a lot to do. We would go out in the morning. We would leave first thing in the morning. We would get driven out in a truck, and we'd get dropped off. And then we would walk anywhere from 10 to 15 miles each morning until it was about lunchtime. And then we would go back to camp, and we would relax. We would have a little bit of lunch. The two guys I was in Africa with hunting, my hunting buddies, they would usually try and go and sneak in a little power nap. Because after lunch, we would head out in the truck again, get dropped off, and we would walk somewhere around another 10 or 15 miles in the afternoon. I didn't sleep much while I was in Africa. I don't sleep well when I'm away from home regardless, but it was hot there, and I just didn't sleep well. So instead of going back to my hut and trying to take a little power nap like my buddies would do, I would hang out with the local Africans, the ones who were in the camp with us, our trackers and our cook and our chauffeurs. Now, I didn't speak any of their language at all. So I would just sit and I would watch these guys interact with each other. This interaction, it turned out to be one of my most treasured and life-changing experiences in Africa. Witnessing how these guys related to each other every day, it was actually a gift from God to me. Out in the bush, we had absolutely no electricity. So that means we had no TV, we had no radio, we had zero cell service. None of the entertainment that we take for granted here, we didn't have any of it. One of the things that I noticed my African friends doing while they just sat around shooting the breeze with each other, entertaining each other, was making tea. They would make tea every day. They each had these little tiny teapots and a small cup to go with it. It wasn't much bigger than a shot glass. They were made out of steel, kind of a heavy steel, and they were small. And as they sat around having conversations with each other, laughing and joking, they would be brewing this tea. They would take the little teapot, and they would heat it up, fill it with water, and they would heat it up, and they would have their cup all ready to go. And by ready, I mean they had this little cup, like I say, not much bigger than a shot glass, and it was about 3/4 of the way full with pure sugar, and maybe just a couple of shavings of tea leaves on top of this sugar in the cup. And they would wait, and they'd have their little teapots in the fire. And when their water was hot enough, they would take this little tiny teapot out of the fire, and they would pour it into this cup of sugar, their water into there with these few little tea leaf shavings on it. And then they would let it sit for a minute, and then they would pour that cup of sugar water and tea back into that little pot that they heated it up in. And they'd stir it around and stir it around, and then they would pour it back into the cup. And they'd stir it around, they'd stir it around, and then they would pour it back into the teapot again. And they did this back and forth, all the while just having a blast with each other, telling stories, laughing and joking. And they would do this back and forth, back and forth. And when it would cool down, they would take the little teapot, they would stick it back on the fire again, and the whole thing started over, back and forth, back and forth. They did this with every bit of their idle time. If we were sitting around, they were brewing this tea. Now here's the thing about this task of brewing this tea. Never once did I see a single one of them ever take a sip or drink that tea. They would spend hours a day, back and forth, brewing this tea, and they never took a sip of it. I was baffled. Sugar was expensive, especially for them. They would put sugar and tea in there, and they never drank it. I asked my hunting buddies why they spent all this time on this tea. My buddies grew up in this part of Africa, so they were my information resource. I said, why would they spend all this time doing this back and forth and then never taste it? And here's what my hunting buddies told me. They said simply, these guys had nothing better to do. Nothing better to do than to spin this water back and forth in this pot. I thought about that as I was reading the gospel passage this morning. And as I read it, it just took me back to my friends in the African bush. And I pictured John and his disciples standing around fixing fishing nets or cleaning honeycombs or maybe pulling off the wings off of some of those delicious locusts that John liked to eat. Whatever they were doing, they were just killing time because really they didn't have anything better to do. And for some reason, I picture them on the shoreline. But the gospel doesn't really say where they are. Just that John was with his disciples and he saw Jesus coming. And he said, hey, look, there he is. There's the Lamb of God. And two of John's disciples, comrades, or his comrades or his disciples, they heard him say something about who Jesus was. And because they had nothing better to do at that time, they decided that they would pursue Jesus. Suddenly, they went from having nothing to do to they had something to do. Something important to do. And that was to follow Jesus. And because they did, because they followed Jesus, Christianity actually began in that moment. So let me ask you this morning, how would your life be different if there were no Christians? How would it be different if you weren't a Christian? What would you do if you didn't know Christ? For a lot of us who've lived our whole lives in this country, surrounded by Christian people, even when they don't act like it, it's hard, almost impossible for us to imagine life without our Christian values or our Christian morals. But what if you never had the opportunity to meet Jesus, to walk with him, to talk with him? What effect would that have on your life? Do you think you'd be better or worse? Or maybe would you be the same? What if we didn't have church? What would you miss about coming to church every Sunday? Would you miss this great music that we have? Would you miss the message? I hope you would miss the message. You know, I would have never been able to sing out loud, or I would have never had the courage to sing out loud in public if it wasn't for church on Sunday mornings. How many people do you know that might not be your friends if Christianity would have never happened? If you had never met this church family, how great of a loss would that be for you? What would you do on Sunday mornings? Would you spend your time differently throughout the week? Would you just be at home making tea because you had nothing better to do? How different would your life be if you weren't a Christian? Ask yourself this. Do you feel good about the time you spend helping strangers? Do you regret all the money that you've given to God to see his kingdom spread? Are there things that because you know Christ have actually made your life better? Like hope-filled books that you're glad to read, or the times that you've experienced the God's grace during worship. Wouldn't you miss the blessing that you feel when you get to care for a hurting family? If you were not a Christian, would your life be less interesting? Or could you think of something better to do? I want to believe that every once in a while, the disciples thought about how different their lives would have been if they had never met Jesus. What if John the Baptist had kept silent as two of his students just watched Jesus, just watched this guy walk by? But John wasn't silent. John says, there he is. That's the one. I heard you guys talk, and you know how cocky I can be. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not worthy of tying that guy's sandals. That's saying something, John. He had a reputation for being pretty sure of himself. So for him to admit that this guy who outranks him by a long shot is quite a revelation by John the Baptist. So when their leader, John, when he says something like this, well, that sparks an interest in two of John's disciples. They want to see what this Jesus guy is all about. So they start following him as he walks by. And Jesus turns and he asks these two new shadows that just seem to be following him wherever he goes. He says, "What are you guys looking for?" They nervously answer, we thought we'd like to see where you're staying." In other words, they said, "We don't have anything better to do. So we're wondering what you're doing." Jesus then offers them the invitation that will change their lives completely. All he says is "Come and see. Come and see." So they did. They followed Jesus around like a couple of puppies all day because they were interested in what he was doing. If you think about it, they have no idea. None whatsoever about what they're getting themselves into. They have no clue that they'll end up leaving everything that they know behind. Their nets, their boats, their homes, their friends, their family, even the work that they do. They'll end up changing their minds about almost everything that they held true. All because they had nothing better to do than to follow Jesus. Andrew does what Andrew does best. Andrew's only mentioned a couple of times in the New Testament. This time here, when he's following Jesus, and at the feeding of the 5,000. In both cases, he's bringing someone to Jesus. In the feeding of the 5,000, it's Andrew who brings the boy with the two fish and the five loaves. In this passage that we read this morning, it's Andrew who's bringing his brother, Simon, to meet the Lamb of God. He goes to Simon, he says, "Hey, you have to come and see this guy." And for some reason, Simon goes with him. Not necessarily because he wants to or because he has this great faith already, but more than likely because he's also curious. And he's hoping that after this, his brother may just leave him alone. But when Jesus meets Simon, the first thing he does is he changes Simon's name. He says, "Your name is going to be Peter or the Rock." I don't think Simon was really known for his dependability at this point to be some kind of a solid foundation or that he was really stable. But everything is starting to change now that he's met Jesus, now that he's met the Messiah. And Simon begins questioning his purpose in life. What has he been doing and why? I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder the same thing. What are we looking for? Why do we worship? Why do we go to church? Some of us go because our parents didn't give us a choice growing up. Some of us, we can still hear our mother's voice telling us that we have to go to church. We just can't get that voice out of our heads. Some of us go because it's easier than arguing with our spouse about getting up and going to church. We can get into the routine of going to worship without any great expectations. Sure, we're interested in thinking about how we could live better lives or help some people out. The music is always good. We get to see some friends, and we have to have some coffee, and maybe they'll have cookies this week. What the heck? I'll go to church. I got nothing better to do. I'll say this. That's what Andrew and his brother and their friend thought too. We got nothing going. Let's follow him and see where it takes us. Jesus says, come and see. And the disciples, they stumble along, following without knowing where they're going, until they figure out that they've wandered onto a path that actually leads them to God's grace. Come and see, Jesus says. And then the disciples soon tasted water that turned into wine. They watched Jesus cleanse the temple. They listened with amazement as Jesus revealed the good news around the countryside. They witnessed healing. They saw comfort. They witnessed miracle after miracle. They set on this journey because they had nothing better to do, and now they've seen things that they could never have ever imagined. What are we looking to do when we come here? Deep in our souls, are we looking for something to believe in, something to hold on to, something important enough to live for, something big enough to devote our time to? Are we looking for a challenge? Are we really looking for our purpose? Come and see is how the disciples' story starts. It's a great way to start a story. You got nothing to do? Come and see what I'm doing. It's the invitation to explore, to discover, to travel without knowing exactly where you're going. But if we've nothing better to do, what have we got to lose? Come and see. Come and look for places where we've never been. Come and see what it means to hope, to believe, to follow. We're here in this church this morning to open ourselves to God. God who will lead us to a new place. The people who follow Jesus know that there's nothing better to do than to do the things that Jesus did. You know, while I watch my friends in Africa make their tea that they never drank, I realize that it wasn't that they had nothing to do, because they were really doing something that Jesus modeled for us. They were sharing with each other. They were genuinely connecting with each other. They were caring for each other. Truth is, we have nothing better to do than to care for the hurting. Nothing better to do than to listen to the lonely. Nothing better to do than to feed the hungry, to pray for the brokenhearted, to bandage those who are wounded, to comfort those who are trapped in prison. There's nothing better to do than to join together, share in each other's joys, and carry each other's burdens, all in the light of God's grace. There is, without a doubt, nothing better to do than to be in continual worship through our service. We come seeking the meaning of life. We join with people on the journey, and we ask God to help us see where this grace will lead us next. And we ask God to help us all along the way. We come to share the gifts that we've been given with the needs, or to help the needs of this world. We come to discover the possibilities. We come here because we know deep, deep, deep in our hearts, we know that there's absolutely nothing, nothing better to do. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for calling us, just as you called those first disciples to come and see. Thank you for meeting us in ordinary moments and inviting us into lives of purpose and connection and grace. We're grateful that when we thought we had nothing better to do, you showed us that there's truly nothing better than following Jesus, the Lamb of God, and the living and living in His light. We thank you for this church, for the relationships that shape us, for the hope that we share, for the ways your Spirit continues to work among us. Lord, we ask that you would receive the gifts that we offer, our tithes, our offerings, our very beings. Bless these gifts, God. Multiply them for the work of your kingdom, that through them the hungry may be fed, the lonely may be welcomed, the hurting may be comforted, and that your love may be made visible in this community and beyond this community. Lord, as we leave this place, help us to keep listening for your voice, to keep watching for where your grace is already at work, to keep choosing the way of compassion and service and faith. Lord, we ask that you guide our steps, shape our hearts, and use our lives for your glory. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our teacher, our Savior, and our Lord. Amen. So go now in the name of Christ. And when you wonder what to do, hear his invitation. Come and see. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, lead you, sustain you now and always. Go now in peace. Amen.